This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a former literary agent,
we're in the deep with you,
bringing interviews, inspiration, and information to encourage, refresh, and equip you to embrace the deep, to find your truest story, your truest message in the deep places.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at writefromthedeep.com.
It's time for fun stuff!
Fun stuff! Yay! We are so excited to do fun stuff again. We do this sometimes. Okay, so what we want to tell you about is our conference schedule for next year. And so one of the ones that we're most excited about is the Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference, because we get to do something new and fun there. That will be in March 23rd through 27th in beautiful, beautiful California among the Redwoods in Felton, California. And we do hope, so hope that you guys can join us there.
The neat thing about Mount Hermon is they have great faculty and staff. They have wonderful workshops and tracks, and it's for all levels of writers, whether you're just beginning or whether you've been at it for a while. But what Erin and I are doing is something completely new. It's actually a professional writer's retreat where professional writers who you have to apply for it and you have to qualify for it. So check on the website to see what the qualifications are. But if you're a professional writer who's in the process of writing a book and you have a contract that you have to meet or you have a publishing date you want to meet, come to this retreat and let Erin and me be your support. We will give you prayer support. We'll give you networking support. We'll give you snack support. We'll
yes.
do everything necessary because this is geared to meet your needs. So we'll do everything necessary to help you accomplish this task that God has given you. So if you want a place to get away where you're far away from all the pressures of everyday life and you can just do focused writing, this is the place for you. Come join us. And now here's the show.
Welcome, writers. Welcome to the deep. We're glad that you've joined us here today. And speaking of being writers, we know there's no more wonderful task than being a writer in God's kingdom. It's something we love, right? It's something that we delight in. But it goes so much deeper than we often realize.
You know, in this task that God has given us, He's tucked in hidden gifts, just little things that come in and impact us beyond just being a writer. So these kinds of gifts, when we recognize and embrace them, they can enrich our real world lives and our relationships. Hidden gifts like living with a heightened awareness of what's around us. You know, as writers, we see things, we hear things so many others don't.
Yes.
We're aware of the nuances in people's expressions and body language. I mean, how many of us walking through the mall are captivated by what we see happening around us? And the people who are with us are just kind of oblivious. And we're thinking, oh, did you see the way he just touched her hand? That was so tender. And they're like, what are you talking about? That is a gift. We are present in our study of human nature and nature itself. And friends, we can use that to also be present in our surroundings, whatever they are, and in our relationships, to gain a powerful sense of what this world and this life is really about. Consider 2 Kings 6, 17 through 20. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Likewise, you can ask God to use this hidden gift as a writer so that you can really see. You can see the world around you, and you can see the people you're in relationship with.
Cool. It's gifts. Okay, so here's the theme, you guys, gifts, because it's Christmas time. So let's talk about another gift. And I think the next one is a strong awareness of God's involvement in what we say, in what we do, in what we write. Did you guys ever go back to something maybe you wrote yesterday or last week or last year, and you look at it and you're like, whoa, did I write that? How
yeah.
in the world
wow,
did I write
really
that?
That's really good.
I know. And when we look at that and we see that, we think, that's God. That has to be God. That's not us. don't miss what a blessing that is, because you know what? Knowing that that's God working is such a gift. It's not us, it's God. We get to see Him at work. And that is absolutely priceless. I've been studying the Gospels lately, just trying to get a clearer picture of who Jesus was and how He handled the people of the day. And I noticed that so many people, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and all these people are like, give us a sign, give us a sign. You know, the signs were there, okay? The lame people are walking, the blind are seeing, the deaf receive their hearing, and dead people are coming back to life. There were plenty of signs, but these folks are missing the signs. There's no appreciation and there's no gratitude. Gratitude is a gift that changes us. It makes us glorify God. It makes us see God for who He is and how great He is. And it gives us a proper sense of humility and excitement. And this enriches us. It goes back to enriching us as real people in this world. Our real world is enriched. So I want to ask you, you know, what about you? Do you want a sign that God is in this writing thing with you? And I'm sure that He's going to give it to you in the miracle of your words, you know, or maybe it's that one person who tells you that what you wrote made a difference, or maybe your writing journey through something made a difference for you. You see God taking these words and making them something that does something supernatural. That's an amazing gift.
Another hidden gift in this task of writing is it's the best training camp ever. I'm not kidding, guys. When you set your feet on the path of being a writer with God, and when you set your path on following Him because He's asked you to write for Him, you do several things. You develop muscles and automatic responses for walking in submission and in trust and obedience and for enduring when things get hard. Okay, so think about it. Submission. As writers, we're trained over and over to lay our goals and desires on the altar and seek His goals, not to hold on to anything too tightly, but to open our hands and to let go of what we think we should be doing and what we think is success and look instead to Him to tell us. Those are muscles that few people develop. That's why so many people get misled about what success is. But as writers who are writing because God has set us on this path, we learn the importance of letting go and trusting God for the results, which leads us to the next one, obedience.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. If you learn nothing else as a writer who's on this task because God has given it to you, you are trained to do what He asks. You are a soldier. He is the general. You do what He asks you to, and you leave the results up to Him. You don't worry about how many books you sell. You don't fret about whether or not people are getting the message, because that part, friends, is up to God, not you. Your part is to simply do what you're told to do. You're a foot soldier in God's service, and your battleground is the battleground of words. You are speaking truth into the darkness. You are using the light to take away the shadows of untruth. And you are speaking His gospel where it will change lives. And the results of all of that is up to Him. And then endurance. We don't quit when things get difficult. Okay, yeah, sometimes we want to. Sometimes we are just fed up with trying and trying and trying, and we don't see the kind of results we want. But that's when we have to develop those muscles again, like we were talking about. We have to go back and submit, go back and be obedient, and then let all of that work within you so that you develop an ability to endure. Sometimes you need to take a break. Sometimes you need to step back and have a day when you can pitch a fit. Absolutely fine.
Yes.
But for the most part, friends, we learn to get back on the track and to get back into writing and to seek His will and to seek His guidance. We turn to Him to sustain us and support us, because this is the task He's given us. And so He needs to show us how to do it with grace and with peace and with endurance. And then finally, those trust muscles. I think those are probably the hardest for us to develop, because when things don't go the way that we got in our heads they would go, we start questioning everything. We start looking back and saying, well, did I really hear him when he said this? Or why isn't anybody finding this book? What was the point? Well, guys, you have to learn to take it one step at a time without knowing what's down the road. And I don't know about you, but that's very hard for me. I love maps. I love being able to follow maps. I'm the navigator in our family, and I'm the one who says, okay, this is the path to take. And Don and I just drove up to my younger brother's home just north of Seattle, and I not only had paper maps, I had the digital maps, and I had traffic apps, and I was saying, okay, this is normally the way we'd go, but look at the traffic. Everything's red. So we're going to take this bypass. And I love being able to do that. But when it comes to trusting God, he oftentimes leads us just one step at a time. And this writing gig, this task that he gives us to write, will help us to develop those muscles where that's all we need to know. We stop, we listen, and it's enough to hear his voice telling us, okay, now you need to do this. And now you need to do this. And so we developed those muscles. Best training camp ever. The Navy SEALs got nothing on Christian writers.
All right. So another gift is being imitators of God in the act of creation. This is one of my favorite gifts. Genesis 1:1-3. Just listen to this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This is God's first recorded act, the very first words of God's story to you and to me. In the beginning, God created. Mm-hmm. We are part of his creation. We are made in his image. And he says, let there be light. His work through us is light. And we create in his image, and we create stories that shine light. And when it talks about the earth being formless and empty, okay, anyone ever feel like their first draft is formless and empty? You know? But what does God do? He brings order into chaos. And we do that too. We keep drafting, and order comes out of chaos. You know, I'm a slow writer. I tell Karen that I have to chase the words around in my brain for a very long time before I catch the right ones. It's chaos in there. It's chaos in my brain. But slowly we bring order into chaos, and we create something that shines light. We are his image bearers. When we act as creators, this is a gift, you guys.
It's amazing. Something else that is a hidden gift as writers is that we have highly developed listening skills. Now, this is different than hearing, guys. I'm not talking about hearing things, which we do that well because we hear nuances like we talked about before. But as Christian writers, as writers given this task by God, we learn how to be still and to listen for him. Or we're supposed to. I know that there are a lot of us who have a hard time with being still. In this world, just sitting and listening for God is a rare thing to do. But when we do that, when we are still before him and listen until we develop that sense of knowing his voice, until we develop that knowledge and that familiarity with who he is, that's something that will lead us in a way that we can move forward with confidence. Psalm 46:10 is a well-known verse. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." What I want you to focus on in this hidden gift is be still and know. Hmm. And the way that we know is by listening, by focusing on his voice, not moving until we hear him tell us to. Because when we become so well acquainted with the shepherd's voice that the minute we hear it, we come to him and we seek him, that will make this task so much easier. But beyond that, once we learn to really listen with God, we can take those same listening skills and apply them to those around us, those with whom we're in relationship, even the people who are standing with us in line at the grocery store, and with our readers. Study real people like we do our characters. Be aware of the people around you and listen. Don't feel like you always have to talk. Don't feel like you always have to add your two cents. Instead, study, listen, understand the motivations and the wounds and the personalities of the people that you love as well as you do the characters in your books. Because when you do that, when you focus on them and when you listen to them and when you learn who they really are underneath all the surface bravado, it helps us to be far more loving and compassionate. And that ends up being a gift, not just for you, but a gift for the people around you.
Yeah. Yes. I love that. Okay. And the next gift, no thing in a writer's life is ever wasted. Every experience, every joy and pain and tear and giggle and delight and tragedy, and for me, every sleepless night, for someone like Karen, every broken bone.
Okay, so I admit it. I've had a lot of broken bones in my life. I tend to live life going 100 miles an hour, and when you go that fast, sometimes you fall and you get wounded. So right now, I'm in the process of recovering from a broken shoulder. But several years ago, I fell off a ladder, okay, and broke my ribs. Well, shortly after I recovered from those broken ribs, which was an excruciatingly painful experience. I mean, I couldn't sit up. I couldn't lie in bed. If I sneezed, I wanted to die. So it was so painful. And shortly after I recovered from all that, I was editing a manuscript in which a character with broken ribs ran a half a mile. And I thought to myself, no way. No way. So I made a note to the author and I said, this will not happen. If you have broken ribs, you can't even breathe deep. Running, that would be death. So you can take those experiences, my broken shoulder, all of that. I know it cold, what's real and what isn't. And that can bring authenticity to what we do. Same thing with any emotional pain, any trauma. The other thing that I've discovered in dealing with all these broken bones is the importance of physical therapy. Guys, pain is necessary to repair what's broken. Mm-hmm. And we can bring that awareness, too, into our stories. Pain is necessary for healing.
You know, something that my critique partner and I often say is nothing wasted, which is pretty much what we're just saying here. But we talk about it in terms of every word that you write also, you know, even if they're terrible words,
they are
practice. I have a friend whose kids grew up, you know, had babies, moved away, you know, and she's like, she works at our church and she's like, you know, I've always wanted to study the oboe. I think I'll go back and get a degree in oboe performance. And so if you think about it, oboe, I don't know if you know anything about music, but it's a hard instrument, okay?
It and is.
It's really painful when somebody's learning the oboe. Their notes are terrible, you know? But every scale, every little song and big song and longer song, and this poor gal, she had to go through the process of buying a new oboe because hers really wasn't up to the task, and breaking in a new oboe, and boy, learning the idiosyncrasies of that instrument. And as she progressed through her schooling, she had to buy yet another oboe, a more professional one, to get through her graduate recital. It was another year of learning that instrument and how to recreate the perfect tone and pitch on that instrument. Every scale, every note that she played. And I just went to her recital. And you know what, you guys? I'm going to tell you that it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was the most beautiful sound filling the auditorium. And when you do a recital like that, typically it's not just oboe solo for the whole thing. You know, she had faculty members that would come in and play with her, and she was introducing one of the songs, and one of the faculty members said, "Oh, can I say something?" Which is not like a normal thing at a recital. And so this faculty member went on to say how she really enjoyed my friend being at school and how she offered to actually play for her recital with her because she so respected her and she so enjoyed watching her grow. And then you know what she said? She said, "We're going to miss her so much when she's gone after she graduates because this girl came and she shone her light. You could see light in her eyes every day that she was here." Wow. I'm just thinking about this is a secular institution, you guys. And here is my friend going through the growing pains and practicing and learning her craft. And she's shown the light of Jesus to the point where people are going to miss that. What a gift to be used in that way by God, to do something you're passionate about and show that to the whole world, which kind of leads us to hidden gift number 7, which is, okay, maybe not exactly a hidden, because you guys know that writing is something that you're passionate about. But do you know that just having a passion is a gift? My husband is a college professor, and he gets students who come in, and he's supposed to help them and advise them, and they have no goals. They have no passion. They don't know what they want to do, and he's there trying to help them, you know? And then you get people, maybe they're working their 40-hour-a-week jobs, and they don't have a passion. Or you get a retired person who's done with their job, and now they don't have a passion anymore. Guys, this passion that you have for writing is a gift because it gives you purpose. It gives you a way to shine your light. Whatever you do, you have this passion. And maybe we forget sometimes. Maybe we take it for granted sometimes. Passion is a gift from God.
So we encourage you today, open your heart and your mind, your spirit, to the hidden gifts God has for you in this task of writing. Cherish them. Let them help you see God and His creation and the people around you more clearly. Let them help you to reflect Him more passionately in your writing, but even more in your life and your relationships. Friends, what God has asked us to do for Him, this writing thing, there are so many wonders to be found. So as we consider the Christmas season and the amazing gift that God sent to us, let's also remember that in everything He asks us to do for Him, there are gifts tucked away inside. We just need to be open and aware and looking for them.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.